Thanks, Alex. On the ground, I see teams building assistants that have to manage long-lived workflows, customer support cases that span months, internal projects where facts live in docs, tickets and chat, and regulated processes that require provenance. Right now, models either forget earlier interactions, mix up sources, or can't reliably attribute where a fact came from. A benchmark like LifeBench addresses that operational need by defining clear scenarios and pass-fail criteria for long-horizon multi-source memory, essentially giving teams a way to validate whether an assistant can actually remember and reason over many sources across time.
Good question. Technically, we've reached the point where models can handle larger contexts, and we're layering retrieval, memory modules, and tool use on top of LLMs, but integration and evaluation lag behind. LifeBench appears now because researchers need standardized stress tests for combined challenges, long horizons, multiple heterogeneous sources, and temporal consistency. Existing benchmarks mostly test short-term QA or single-source memory. A multi-source, long-horizon benchmark helps reveal failure modes, like stale retrieval, cross-source contradictions, and attribution errors, and guides development of retrieval strategies, memory architectures, and evaluation metrics tuned to these problems.
Jamie, when you say tasks like attribution and temporal QA, what does that look like in practice, metric-wise or format-wise?
It changes a few practical things. First, acceptance criteria. Teams would stop judging models only on short chat performance and add explicit pass-fail tests for memory, attribution, and temporal accuracy. Second, CI and regression testing. You'd include LifeBench scenarios to catch degradations when swapping models or changing retrieval layers. Third, operational SLOs and monitoring. Define targets like 90% attribution accuracy for items within 90 days and monitor drift. It also forces better metadata and ingestion practices. If your sources don't carry timestamps or stable IDs, you'll fail the tests.
Can you give one concrete example of a pass-fail criterion a team might implement from LifeBench?
In a simple case, imagine a product support team with an assistant that handles customer life cycles, tickets, emails, and chat over months. You'd take a LifeBench scenario that mirrors those timelines and make it part of your acceptance criteria. Concrete artifacts, a regression test suite of episodic dialogues, a pass-fail rule like 92% attribution accuracy for claims within 120 days, and a required structured fallback when no source is found. Teams run that suite on each model or retrieval layer change to prevent regressions.
So for a support team, you'd get CI tests and a hard SLO for attribution and a safe I don't know response, clear gating. Mark, now take us to a more advanced setup. What does LifeBench look like inside a knowledge worker platform?
In an advanced platform that aggregates internal docs, emails, chat, and user interactions over months, LifeBench becomes part of deployment and monitoring. You generate larger episodic suites reflecting document updates, merged identities, conflicting edits, and multi-step workflows. Operational pieces, staging runs, canary deployments that exercise the benchmark, monitoring signals, attribution accuracy, retrieval precision at K, contradiction rate, hallucination rate, retrieval latency, provenance logging for audits, and policies for data retention and access. It also forces org work, consistent timestamps, stable IDs, and ingestion policies so tests are meaningful.
Jamie, given that advanced case which LifeBench scenarios map to those behaviors, what metrics should teams run, and how do they prioritize fixes based on the outputs?
Start small. Pick a representative subset of LifeBench scenarios and run them in staging as CI gates. Define SLOs per slice. For example, attribution 92% for high-risk documents, retrieval precision at 80% for recent sources. Add monitoring dashboards and alerts for drift in those metrics. Use canary releases that run live traffic through the new stack but divert only a small percentage. Compare LifeBench equivalent queries and human scores. Instrument provenance in logs so you can replay failures. If thresholds fail, block rollout and route issues to Infra ML product. Over time, expand the suite and automate daily regression runs.
Jamie, teams often ask how to pick pass-fail thresholds and balance cost, latency, and compute against accuracy. Any practical guidance?
They operationalize long horizon by constructing episodes that span days to months in simulated time, with tens to a few hundred interaction turns. Tests include late references to earlier events, updates that overwrite prior state, and merged identities, so the model must resolve who or what a fact refers to across gaps. For metrics, they extend standard QA measures, EMF1, but applied to long query answers, and add retrieval metrics, precision at K and recall over the target time window, plus attribution accuracy. Did the system point to the right doc ID and timestamp, and faithfulness checks to detect hallucinations or contradictions? They also track operational signals like retrieval latency and token cost. Important constraints. Much of the benchmark is simulated and assumes clean metadata exists. That means the benchmark stresses model and retrieval logic under controlled noise, but it doesn't fully capture messy real-world ingestion errors, missing timestamps, or inconsistent IDs. It also currently focuses on text sources and episodic queries rather than continuous real-time streams.
Mark, given that technical picture, what operational caveats should teams expect when they try to use LifeBench signals in production?
First, expect degradation in real environments beyond the paper's numbers. Real data has missing timestamps, inconsistent IDs, OCR errors, and merged accounts. That hits retrieval precision and attribution hard. Second, trade-offs. Higher accuracy retrieval, denser indexes, larger K, stronger re-rankers, raises latency and cost. You'll need provenance logging and storage to replay failures and debug. Monitoring needs to be explicit. Surface attribution accuracy, retrieval precision at K, contradiction hallucination rates, and end-to-end latency. Sample failing queries for human review regularly. For adoption, start with a small, high-risk slice of LifeBench scenarios in staging, run canaries on live traffic, and enforce I don't know escalate to human fallbacks to avoid shipping hallucinated answers.
Mark, to close us out, who benefits most from LifeBench, and under what conditions would it be most useful?
Yes. Beyond product teams, R&D and infra folks benefit. Retrieval engineers, embedding and re-ranking teams, and anyone building memory modules. LifeBench surfaces which layer fails, retrieval, metadata, or the LLM's integration, so those teams can target fixes efficiently. It's also useful for evaluation teams to set realistic, risk-based SLOs.
One sentence. LifeBench provides a standardized practical stress test for long-horizon, multi-source memory that pinpoints whether failures come from indexing, retrieval, metadata, or the model so teams can prioritize fixes. To finish, a quick reminder, the English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on nblotty.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for Arcs of LLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.